But I feel like they don't really sell it that much. Like you don't like store.
Is it?
Yeah, but you really gotta go on like a really like get like you have to go to Walmart and go to like the biggest candy aisle you can find. Also, there's no Walmarts around Portland.
Okay,
It's
look,
kind of
hear
weird.
me out. The best time to get candy corn is in
During
December.
Halloween.
No, it's during December because that's when it's on sale.
Yeah, because
Because all
they're all
kinds of
like
candy corn.
because they're all stale.
And it
And
adds to the flavor.
no, it
Real
makes it.
candy corn believers and real candy corn fanatics will get it, will still enjoy it when it's stale.
No, but they know that it's like saying like, oh yeah, I love milk, and when it goes bad, I still drink it
Who loves milk?
because what do you mean who loves milk? I mean
Like,
okay, that was a bad example, but like
what?
bread, like okay, that's not a great example, but imagine you like love bread,
Okay,
and
bread
then
goes stale.
and then when bread gets moldy, you're like, well, I still
No,
love it,
that's
so I'll keep on
different.
eating.
That's different because when candy corn gets stale, it doesn't get unhealthy. When bread gets stale, it's an actual hazard. Candy corn's never a hazard unless you're like a toddler and you choke on it because you're
Unless
fat
the
and you eat food.
candy corn's like 50 years old, then I
Okay,
mean
I don't
maybe
think it
that.
ever expires, honestly.
Yeah,
The stuff they're putting in it these days,
I'll
like a
do.
Twinkie.
Thank you for listening to our debate. Let us know who you think won.
It was me. My name is Zara.
My name is Wyatt.
And you're listening to the Student Hour.
You've been listening to the Student Hour, amplifying student voices from the city of Portland and beyond. The Student Hour is produced by KBPS broadcasting students at Benson Tech, on air since 1923. KBPS is the voice of Portland Public Schools. Thank you to our supporters, partners, and listeners like you. Full episodes of the Student Hour are available online at kbps.am. That's kbps.am.
I am Dr. Demento. I am here in a land of happy, freaky people. KBOO Portland.
Rev up your support for KBOO Community Radio. Have an old car taking up space? Donate it to KBOO. Your unused vehicle can become music to our ears, powering independent radio that amplifies diverse voices and community perspectives. It's easy and hassle-free. Either visit kboo.fm/cars or call 1-877-KBOO-123. You'll get a tax donation and the satisfaction of supporting local independent media. Donate your car to KBOO Community Radio today and drive change in your community.
Support for KBOO comes from its members and from the Bureau of Labor and Industries Child Care for Construction, working to provide resources and support for New Journey workers and their families in partnership with Business Oregon. More info at oregon.gov/BOLI/apprenticeship under the link Financial Assistance for Registered Apprentices.
This is Danny Glover, and I want you to listen to what I listen to, Hard Knock Radio.
Yo, this ain't your boy, this your brother, Ice Life.
And this M1 International, RBG all day, baby.
On Hard Knock Radio.
Word up.
Check it out, yo.
Can I be the one to bring you joy?
What's up, y'all? This is Lettucey with Hard Knock Radio.
News, blues, and hip-hop. My name is Winston Bradley, a.k.a. Burning Spear, on Hard Knock Radio. Jai's real.
Davey D, Hard Knock Radio, hanging out with you this afternoon. We periodically like to check in with Daryl Lamont Jenkins. You know him for his work, his anti-racism work, his organizing work. He's with One World, and he's with One People's Project. Why I say One World? He's with One People's Project. He's been keeping a track of a lot of the nefarious players, many who have now graduated and are serving significant roles in this current administration. I wanted to have you on for a couple of reasons. One, we were concerned about the type of broad brush or stroke that were being laid on folks who took a position that ideologically criticized capitalism, Zionism, called into question the injustices that this administration is levying on people. And all of a sudden, they were saying anybody who does that is a terrorist or a supporter of terrorism. And they started to use the broad name Antifa. And so we wanted to talk to you because I think I saw a post or a tweet where, you know, somebody in the administration identified you as that, if I remember correctly. So this is not your first rodeo in this. You kind of understand how this has been happening. For many people, this is a shock, but this has been going on for some time. So welcome to the show, and thanks for updating us on some of the things that are happening. The latest thing is that we saw that a prominent journalist, I'm going to get his name in a minute, from the UK was detained, you know, at SFO by ICE. And they claimed that he is somebody who supports terrorism. I think he was here to speak for CARE, you know, Council for, you know, American Islamic Relations. But they said his criticism of Israel is what is, you know, the issue here. And so this is a slippery slope. And we're now looking at folks coming not only under the microscope, but now being detained for their political beliefs. So how are you seeing the lay of the land at this moment in time?
Well, it's more than a slippery slope, that's for sure. They're pretty much skating, doing figure eights at this point. But I think the problem that we have is that, you know, when you hear often in relation to the Holocaust, everyone always says that never again. And yet, here we are. The only thing that they changed was the religion they was targeting. They're not going after Jewish people publicly. Got to stress that one. Instead, now, everything that they did, the Nazis did to the Jews back in the day, they're now doing today to Muslims. Nothing's changed. Nothing. Except that. And that should inform us as what it is we are fighting, and we should respond accordingly. And we haven't done that yet. And I think we're just really trying to figure out how we're going to respond. But the fact that we can still have dialogue like this, the fact that we can talk about it and they can't do a thing about it yet, means that we do have time. But we shouldn't take advantage of that time and start making moves now so that these idiots do not start hurting people that we love and try to protect. I mean, they are hurting people already, but it needs to come to an end quickly.
From your estimation, where is this born from? You know, the Stephen Millers of the world, the Laura Loomers, and the Steve Bannons, these are characters that have been nationally known for at least the last 8 to 10 years. But from the work that you all have done, what has been the driving force? What is this really about at the end of the day?
Well, in the end, none of it's new. None of it is new. I would go back. We can go back even further, but I would really start going after going back as far as maybe the civil rights movement, because this generation, ever since generation of conservatives, ever since they lost that, they have been trying to come up with ways to recover what they lost after the civil rights movement, because the civil rights because that was a domino. That was a domino. All of a sudden, you couldn't do anything in politics or in government without us scrutinizing it to make sure that human rights are going to be protected. Whether you're talking about black and brown people, whether you're talking about the gender
LGBT equality. Folks. Yeah.
Yes. Yes. And I mean, we'll run down the list. Workers started getting more support. Consumers, even. Thank you, Ralph Nader. I mean, all of a sudden, people were starting to pay closer attention to what it is our government was doing, and that's why Nixon got out of there, because we were paying attention. You couldn't even have wars anymore without someone asking questions. They want all of that back, and they've always wanted that back. But now they feel that they have an opportunity to get it all back. And the only thing that they are doing different than anybody in the past, in the past, say 50 years or so, is not care what anybody thinks. They do not feel that they have to care. They can go out there and hurt anybody that they want to hurt, marginalize anybody's rights, no matter what the books say, and just simply don't care. And our mission is to make sure that they do care. And we haven't stepped up yet. We just simply haven't stepped up yet. Yet.
Did you feel there was any hope or movement with the No Kings marches that we saw around the country?
Yes, absolutely. And I'm going to tell you, I mean, not so much just because I know a lot of people have issues with those marches, simply because, one, they didn't make any demands. A lot of it was because everyone was considering it to be a pep rally because there was no demands made. There was also the fact that, you know, you're dealing with the liberals that really do not fight as hard as they should. But in the end, what it managed to do is to get us all together face to face and meet each other, as opposed to just going on to social media
online.
And,
right?
Yeah. You got to do more than that. You got to do more than just writing memes and all of that. And that was a good, very new start for this generation. And you got to go further than that. I mean, now we have met. Now we have to put some work in. I mean, that's one of the things you have to take away from back in the day when they did the tea parties. They all met up, they talked, they discussed how they wanted to get things done, and all of a sudden we got people coming from the tea parties in office. But that's just one strength. Occupy showed us that we didn't even have to worry about getting into office. We have strength outside. We could create new institutions that do not rely on what it is that they're doing in the White House, that are protected from things that they're doing in the White House. And what the No Kings rallies did was get everybody in one particular area where we can just simply just talk about, okay, what's next? I met you now. Let's go somewhere after this. Let's go to some coffee house. Let's go to my house. Let's go to this thing that's going on in our town right now. Like, go to our next, town hall meeting or whatever. Let's start making some things happen.
Let me ask you this. Two questions. Daryl Lamont Jenkins is our guest from One People's Project, if you're just tuning in. Political purity. That has been a lofty goal for some, but it's also been paralyzing and sometimes off-putting. You know, meaning that somebody's listening right now and they're going, I like Daryl's, I like his politics. He's out there. He's fighting. He's gone directly head to head with all these white nationalists. He's done this. But the fact that he said that he liked the No Kings rally and the New Kings rally didn't have any demands means that he's probably and he'll use some derogatory word to call you a liberal. You're not really up to the test. Yeah. And want to erase that. So we have that battle, you know, the political purity test, right? And just for the record, I always felt like, in spite of the criticism politically wise that one had of No Kings, if you're an organizer or an activist, you should have been out there with 100,000 people, 10,000 or whoever, and, you know, as you said, meet, greet, organize, and if anything, collect names and numbers and keep it moving. You know, it ain't your dime. You didn't promote it. You know, you didn't spend money for any of that. Might as well go in, at least go where the people are at. But let's put that aside for a second. The other challenge that you have is that you do have a large swath of people that are looking for civility. They feel that you can negotiate with the folks that are in power, that you know, that everything hinges on the next elections that are coming up, that sort of thing. And so the need to fight is not really there, because all I got to do is just wait for the midterms, and maybe I can have a conversation with my neighbor, even if my neighbor joined ICE. You know, those types of ideologies, you know, the things that Dr. King talked about, where there were folks that were more interested in civility than they were in how, you know, they were angry at the way people protested and how they looked in protesting versus, you know, really, you know, shaking hands and kissing babies type of thing.
See, this is when you start listening to people like T.R., Theodore Roosevelt. Wasn't it him who said, what was it about carrying a big stick? You know, just hope that you don't need the stick. You got to go out there and reach out and talk with people and keep that whole civility going. Just, yeah, it is not a detriment if you're looking for civility. Absolutely not. However, if you have to look for it, that should tell you something. That should tell you that you have to still be prepared in case something goes sideways. You do. I mean, and I think people will not prepare themselves for that. I mean,
well, let's define civility. Let's be clear about this. Because some of the people that we've seen, they're cordial and they're nice. Hey, Daryl, how are you? You know, but their policies and politics are anything but nice. You know,
we'll recognize that.
Right. Right. Yes. I mean, and that can fool you. Like if you go down and talk to the governor in Texas, you know, Greg Abbott, he's a nice guy, but everything he's doing is detrimental, harmful, and the whole nine. And so sometimes, you know, we can have a nice conversation, but what did I do politically to upend you? Some of these people are nice guys, but they're ending SNAP benefits tomorrow, you see, or at the end of the week. So how do you kind of separate that?
I mean, I will tell you that, I mean, when you talk, if you were to talk to some of these far right guys, these fascists or whatever that I deal with on a regular basis that have had conversations with me, they will always talk about how I am smiling in their face and being nice and cool. And then I just rip them apart when I'm not in front of them anymore. And the real about that is because, hey, bottom line, number one, I told you who I was whenever I came up to see you. And I told you that we can't do this. We cannot continue to let you continue to do your thing, no matter how much, how cool I'm being with you right now. The reason why I'm cool to you right now is because I'm trying to appeal to your better nature. But I'm warning you, worst. I mean, people forget that. I mean, during my No Kings here in my hometown, the Proud Boys showed up with a Confederate flag. And of course, I played it cool. I played it cool with them, and I had a conversation. One of the guys said that they was one of the J6ers. And by the way, it was the first time I ever seen Proud Boys in my hometown. They were trying to counter the No Kings rally. And
this is in Pennsylvania, or?
No, this is in Somerset, New Jersey.
Oh, in Jersey. Jersey, Jersey, Pennsylvania is all the same.
You would think so, but right. It's a little bit more rural out there in Pennsylvania. Pittsburgh.
Right.
But it was and it was a I talked with the guy before the marshals asked me to go up back on the other side because that they're trying to keep things cool and I recognize that. But the truth of the matter is I will have a conversation with you, but recognize that I still have, and I think I've said this to you before, I can have a good conversation with y'all, but my obligation is to the people that you can hurt. They're looking at people like myself and others who do this kind of work to make to protect them. We put ourselves in that position, so we have to respect the role that we have given ourselves. You know, having said, but bottom line is, if you do not recognize that I am prepared for anything that you throw at us, you're going to lose. You're going to lose anyway, but you're really going to lose if you do not recognize that I am not playing games, and that none of us are. I mean,
but that's also a vice versa thing. We better realize absolutely that those folks are not playing games.
Which is exactly why you have to have this attitude. I mean, what I was when I was walking around a lot of these no king rallies, I mean, I was prepared. I have my 9 on me every time I roll around. Well, maybe not the 9, 380. But,
yeah.
But the truth, and I have to say that to be real about it. Because let's face it, these folks keep talking about civil war. These folks keep talking about shooting up people. So I'm not going to sit up here and play like I am not going to be prepared for that either. But you only need to know I have that when the time comes. I mean, I'm actually surprised I'm bringing it up here, but
right.
But the truth of the matter is, I just want people to understand it. You know, you got to be real about it. You got to be real about your goals when it comes to this thing that we're dealing with over the these past 10 years. You have to be prepared to get nasty, but do every single thing that you can do to keep that from happening, to get into that point, de-escalate as much as you can.
Daryl, let me ask you this. We have, you mentioned Pennsylvania, I mean, not Pennsylvania, but New Jersey. Mm-hmm. And so New Jersey has a big election coming up for governor, as we do here in Cali around Prop 50. So there will be national attention on both of those just because of what they signify. But probably more importantly, we are seeing a line being drawn in the sand now because the Department of Justice and everybody else is talking about, yeah, these are New Jersey. We need to monitor these elections, even though these are state elections. And we've already heard this president start to warn folks that if the Democratic governor, the woman, I forget her name, gets elected.
Mickey Sherrill.
If she gets elected, there's going to be rampant crime and all this other stuff going on. Here, they're kind of floating the idea that somehow in Cali, the elections must be rigged. But I say this to point out that we already have a situation where sister down in the woman down in Arizona has not been seated, so they're not seating people who have won elections on the federal side. So how should we view this, especially if you're one of the mindset that's saying some of this can be changed with these elections? And now we're seeing that break that down.
Because do not forget, they're also talking about, they're going after Virginia.
Virginia, yeah.
They got that. And let us not forget New York City. They know they lost that one. And and that's a perfect example of how dire it is, how nasty they can get. They are really trying, they're not allowing the voter decide who's going to lead them. They are trying to decide for the voter. That's why they're going to try to gerrymander next year. That is why they're threatening to deport Mamdani, who looks like he's going to be the next mayor of New York. That's why they are making all these scare tactics like crime is going to go up and all of this. They're doing everything they can to do everything but appeal to the people that they want to vote for them, because bottom line is they really don't. They don't like the fact that we are stronger than they wanted us to be. And you have to recognize, and we have to also put ourselves in a position. We have to start getting ourselves in a position where when they try to pull this nonsense, we are able to counter them. We have to. And the only way now, how ironic, even though also ironic, they're trying to keep this from happening. The states' rights, the rights of the states to decide, their own agenda. They're trying to take that away now that using it.
Well, there's a couple of wrinkles in this. So I didn't mention the New York election, because what you have is you have not only the far right demonizing Mandemi, but you have the Democrats who have done that. And in many ways, you're looking at a good cop, bad cop situation, right? You know, you're looking at the established Democrats say, hey, you know, I guess I'll vote for him, but wink, wink, do whatever you need to do to not let this happen, right? So you have a betrayal. Did they really? On the second election or the first?
On both, and all through his term. I would just tell you, I mean, there's a line I say about Democrats in New York. I said the one thing that they hate more than racism is black people. So and Muslims, you can just put that on there too. I mean, the fact of the matter is, New York conservatives, which
but they let Eric Adams in, though.
And look who's behind, he's kissing.
Right. Okay.
And he breaks my heart, because back in the day, I remember that dude was out there as a cop going against police brutality. I got video of him doing it.
I remember that growing up. He was hardcore. I mean, there's him doing all sorts of stuff with folks who were down the Uhuru movement, and he was talking about reparations and all that, but then...
It's like Mayor Van Jones at this point.
I hear you on that.
It's frustrating. It really hurts. I mean, but then again, you know, it is what it is. But the thing is, the one thing about New York, the conservatives in town, in that town, feel like they're the only ones that represent New York. That's what I mean. Whether they're Jewish and Italian, those are the only two groups that they feel represents New York, and that's not been fair. Every time we step up or try to be a part of what's going on in the city, they demonize the living daylights out of us. If you're Muslim, you're a terrorist. If you're black, you're a thug and a criminal. And that's the only way they want to see us, unless your name is Eric Adams. So I think what's happening in New York is that this time we're going to fight you for it. We're going to fight you hard. We should have did it during Dinkins, but we didn't have the strength that we needed to.
But the thing with Mandemi is that he's, at least he won the primary without the black vote. You know, and so, you know, without a significant number, not the majority. And so that seemed to be the play. The play was like, if we can get now, if we can get this sizable black population to get behind Adams or Cuomo, then maybe that could now the gap. And what he's so far, at least as far as the polls have shown, has not needed to play that game at all.
Mm-mm. No, they're gonna try to cause him grief for the next 4 years, but he sounds like somebody that knows how to keep his head above water. I think he's gonna be fine. He's not gonna be 100%. He's not. Absolutely not.
Well, will political purity get in the way of that then? Because that, you know,
you know, because think about
are already upset. People are already upset that he shook hands with somebody or he talked to somebody, and they feel like that's the road to compromise. And if you compromise with people who ain't willing to compromise with you, then you already lost the battle.
It's just a conversation we're just going to have. That's real about that. And the truth of the matter is, as like I said, he's not going to be 100%. He is going to say things and be about things that I'm not going to like. He hasn't done it yet because he's not in. And the truth of the matter is, I do that to people. I do things that people don't like 100%. I mean, it's just, we just have to have a conversation to make sure that, you know, in the long term, in the long, you know, we are on this, in the right direction in regards to maintaining this society. That is right. My attitude. We're not going to agree. We're not going to like everything that happens. I mean, we know that. Purity, it's not so much, I mean, people have been talking about political purity for a while now, simply because you have a lot of liberals out there who are realizing that folks are getting sick of them doing nothing. It isn't purity. Do something. I mean, there is really, one, no excuse in the world why Trump is back in the White House. Absolutely none. They did that, not Trump. They kept on ticking off their base. The Democrats start ticking off their base. So everybody stayed home because there was nothing to vote for. On the other hand, they still want to keep on picking fights with the progressives, like you see with Mondami. Or in, right. I believe it was Minneapolis. That brother, Somalian brother that's running. Frey, I think his name is. Not Frey, that's the guy that's there now. But I forgot his name. But the thing is, they want to keep fighting the progressives to the point that in the Northeast, every time they lose the primary, they go all these candidates end up voting running in the election anyway as independents. That's what Cuomo was doing. That's what my man up in what town was that in? I want to say Buffalo. A couple of years ago when he lost his primary, and
Lieberman in Connecticut. Yeah.
Yeah.
When he was
they
alive.
They all did that. And these are the guys that keep telling us vote blue no matter who. And then they pull this crap whenever they lose. And that goes back to what I was saying about how they are trying to choose for us who we are going to vote for. This stupid take what we give you politics has got to stop. It really has to stop. We have made a decision that we want to go forward. We want to see new kind of leadership. And this is something that we got to keep in the forefront of our heads as we go into the midterms. Me talking today is not good today.
Let me just let people know we're talking with Daryl Lamont Jenkins from One People's Project. And just for people who don't know, I'm going to say, you know, you've been recovering from a stroke, and we're glad to see that you're doing well.
Thank you.
You've been able to do it. But sometimes, as we can see, your thoughts can't match the speed of faster than you can speak. So sometimes.
I know what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
I know what I'm talking about when I talk to.
So I just want to make sure people know what's going on, and we appreciate you taking time to be with us. You know, I was saying, if you were talking about this thing of losing a primary and then running independent out here, you know, it's the recall. You know, the billionaires would do the recall. I think there's been 143 recalls in California over the past couple of years. And so that just pops up all the time. Most of them are not successful, but some of the big ones, you know, we know all around the country. You know,
Ray,
in this case, it was
Ray Davis was the dumbest one, was really the dumbest one, and we allowed it.
Yeah,
we allowed it, and I don't think that should ever happen again, ever.
Remember, people forget they tried to do that with Gavin.
Yeah, they will do it with each. They're going to do it with the next governor too. Who right now it looks like it's going to be Katie Porter. It looks like it right now. I don't know. I'm not there. So, right. But that's the name that's going around out here. So,
but let me ask you this. I come back to this thing around the election. You said people need to be prepared. But one of two things can happen. One, if the election is successful, it can give you false hope, and people will feel that, okay, we can do this. What, you know, should people keep their shoulder to the grind, and what does that look like? You know, if I was on the other side, I would let you win so you can get a false sense of security and maybe go back to, you know, hey, things is normal. I told you, if you get out there and vote, look, we got the governor in Virginia, we got it in Jersey, we got it in New York, things are A-okay, fingers up, let's on, you know, we'll come back out on the midterm. While we're seeing the disenfranchisement of all these black folks in the South, right? That could be 20 congressional seats right there, right? We'll see what happens with the Prop 50 here. But, you know, the voter suppression thing is in place. I think you're going to see an uptick in the type of election police that we saw in Florida. And maybe that gets exported to other places around, and those folks may act like ICE, you know, in terms of, you know, voter suppression. And so there are things that I think we should be keeping our eyes and ears on. And I don't know how you keep up that energy when so many things are happening every day to the point that you're distracted or you just don't want to hear it. I just don't want to hear it, Darryl. Don't want to hear no more. It's too much.
You'll hear it when they knock on your door. That's one thing. But I think one of the important things...
You'll hear it, but your neighbor won't. And that's the sad part. That's what you're looking at.
What's even sadder, that they'll get to their neighbors at some point. I mean, this is the thing that we have been here before, you know? And I think one of the important things that I said in the past couple of minutes is the fact that we have to build our institutions up that is independent of this government, how it is right now. We have to be able to protect ourselves. That's why I'm saying that it's important that we are out and doing no kings and things like that. What we have to do after no kings is basically gird our loins, so to speak, and get ready for the fight that's coming. And now we know the people that are who want to have this fight, start building things up, because this should not be happening. This really should not be happening. And we just gotta just get ready for the fight, because it's coming. It's either coming or we're gonna die.
This thing with the reporter Samdi, let me make sure I have his name, because I'm always bad with everybody's name. So let me just make sure I get it.
I'm not familiar with this either.
No, you know, Sami Hamdi, right? So he was detained by ICE, and people are trying to get him out as we're talking. So I'm sure some of the other shows will go knee deep into this. But this seems to be a test for the law that they wanted to pass, where, you know, Mark Rubio would have the determination, State Department, to determine, oh, you know, we can revoke your passport because you're DLJ, and, you know, we deem one people's to be an enemy. Or you teach it.
They
to
already
schools.
Have, yeah. I mean, they didn't get rid of. They didn't take my password. I mean,
passport. Yeah.
But you got to look at it like this too. I don't think we should look at it as being a test anymore. They're blowing boats out of the water and won't tell anybody why. Or they'll tell us some story but won't prove it. It's not a test anymore. They're doing it because they know that we're not going to do anything about it. At least they don't think we will. They don't think we have the strength as a people to do it. And
what you're talking about is sacrifice. And people have seen folks go to jail for 40, mm-hmm. 50 years. I mean, we just had Leonard Peltier on, and he did 50. And people are like, I don't want to do that, you know? And we see the sacrifice the Panthers made. You know, big shout out to Bobby Seale getting the street named after him last week. But damn, we have Panthers who had to go in exile, you know, and Panther, you know, Assata Shakur, you know, had to go to Cuba, all these different types of things that have led to folks saying, I don't know if I want to do that. You know, I don't know if you fight the fight, Darryl. I'm here for you. If you need it, I'll go vote.
And that's fine. That's fine. And I think that it doesn't have to be, I mean, sooner or later, we're going to get into it. We're going to get into the fight that you're trying to avoid now. You will be there. But how much of a fight that you have to wage depends on how much you use your freedoms now. And I'm not saying to put yourself, you don't even necessarily right now have to put yourself at risk. You got people, you can do things on to keep this government from doing what it wants to do. There's a lot of things that you can do.
Like what?
Well, one thing for sure, it'd be good if there's one thing that you notice from a lot of this nonsense is that it's all about perception.
Yeah.
It's all about perception. It's all about how they make themselves look and what kind of strength that they have and the strength that they don't have. I always tell people, and this is yet another reason why I would say don't get too upset about the No Kings rallies, is once they see that we are out there, when they see that there is a counter to their BS, then all of a sudden it stops. Then all of a sudden it stops. And I don't think they've seen it enough yet. I think that, yeah, you can talk on social media about what they're doing, or write about things that they don't want us to write about, things that they didn't think that we would know and things like that. But the moment that they see us organizing against them in a way that they cannot touch anyone, then it's over. Then it's over for them. Then they'll move on to the next thing that they think that they can get away with. And there has to be fewer and fewer things that they can do. But most importantly, the other thing too, and let's just be real about this, because we really are talking about, when we're talking about political purity, it's not so much the, as I said before, it's about the fact that they're not doing anything. We have to show them that if you're not going to do the work, and this is on our side now. Now we're talking about the battle that we have with the mainstream Democrats out there. We have to show them that we will primary you and we will remove you if you are not going to do the job we sent you to do. I am another guy that's breaking my heart. Hakeem Jeffries,
yeah,
he knows better. I thought he was playing along to get along, but it's hurting people even if he is doing that. My attitude is that he has to go. Torres has to go. Schumer has to go. You know, they don't want to do the work, and there are others out there that want to. Younger, fiery, if that's a word, that whose way they are in the way of. They are in the way of good people. And we need to start supporting those people who want to do the work and get them up there in Congress or in some other positions right now. That's just one direction.
But you have a challenge here, and the wild card would be, you know, some of these Zionist lobbies, you know, AIPAC maybe being one, right? And you mentioned the Richard Torreses and the Hakeem Jeffries and what have you. And I come back to this, you know, folks sat back and let Cori Bush go, and folks sat back and let Jamal Bowman go in New York, right? There was a low turnout. They could have won their elections respectively in St. Louis. And folks who sat up there and was like, well, I didn't like the way he said this, or, you know, he didn't say that, sat back, and we lost somebody, you know, that was fighting, you know, 8 out of the 10 things that you wanted them to fight for, right?
Right.
And so that seems to be a concern. Sure, people say they don't like the Hakeem Jeffries and the Richie Torreses because of their support for Israel and all that sort of stuff. But, you know, are you going to go for their opponent and make sure you buttress them, right? Make sure that you come out in full, because you can't sit there and say, in my opinion, the Hakeem Jeffries of the world are too conservative in their outlook, and then say he needs to be replaced, and then in the next breath say the whole system's rotten, I'm not going to vote at all, and if I do vote, I'm not going to campaign for them, I'm not going to put in the sweat equity, you know, behind somebody who can make a difference, and then we turn around and you either have more of the same or you got somebody who's even worse, right?
Well, that's and those folks
know not to go in a left direction, because they're going, hey man, you know, a Bowman, man, he was pretty outspoken, and none of his people came out this
and week. Still is.
Right. Yeah, but, I mean, we don't see or hear from him unless we get him on the show, right? You know, I mean, Cori Bush, same thing. We just talked with folks in St. Louis, and we saw that, you know, a lot of people's like, yeah, she's cool, but they stayed home and then watched her, you know, lose. I mean, she was...
I don't know whether or not she's going to try to get her seat back or anything.
She is going
to
try. She's going to try.
Okay. I think, I mean, I don't know what her chances are. I think Bowman can get his back.
He should.
Yeah.
When you consider all the people who talked crazy and then never voted for him when the time came.
Exactly. And I'm going to tell you something about when you say Ali Pack. Their name, if you notice, they've been very quiet in the past year, because after what happened to Bowman and after what happened to Bush, people started looking at him a little bit more, and their name is really mud at this point.
They had 98% victory. Our entire central committee here in Cali is backed by them.
Reason why is because we haven't been paying attention to them. No one's really talking about them, but now we are. Now we are, and their name is mud these days. That's how come you don't really hear them as much as you did maybe a year ago, you know? I think that a lot of people absolutely resent the influence that they have, especially when it comes with the support of genocide and with the Islamophobia that comes along with it. People are getting sick of that. They target
black folks all the time.
Yeah.
Black elected officials, man, they go hard in the paint for them like it is nobody's business.
Oh, no. Here in New York, I mean, in the New York area, you see it. But here's the interesting thing. You don't really hear them talking up here in New York right now. They know that they are basically radioactive right now. And because people do not like what Netanyahu has done in Gaza. And they support that. And folks really do not want to hear from them. And if anybody is associated with them, they might have a problem next year. They might. You know, sadly, we have to see who comes out. And we have to see if people are going to primary the folks that we want to see primaried and all of that. But here's the thing, and we also have to be prepared for whatever the heck the Republicans are going to do in regards to trying to rig the elections and things like that. But my thing is, regardless of what happens on the election front, on the campaign trail, we still have to build something that is going to tend to our needs, what it is we're looking for, outside of government, and to protect us, in many respects, from government. So we still have to do that. And we still and that's going to make all the difference in the world when everything is said and done, really.
Darryl Lamont Jenkins, we appreciate you taking time out. Two or three things that you would ask people to do, and are there any people that we need to pay attention to? I know usually when we have you on, you give us a list of people. And we didn't really talk about your situation, but you said it's old news, like this thing happens.
To see
your name be mentioned, but was it who meant it? Was it Ted Cruz or somebody? One of the
That'll been fun. That would be fun. No, it's a guy by the name of Andy No, who went online to talk trash about me, and he fancies himself an expert on Antifa, because he had a milk streak thrown at him in Portland.
Right.
A couple of weeks ago, we know about that round table that they had about Antifa in the White House. There was a couple of right-wing influences that I personally have dealt with. And they was basically talking about how they were victims of Antifa. Wow. Now, they didn't mention me or One People's Project there. But here comes Andy No on his Twitter feed coming after me. That says to me that he didn't want the general public, which would have watched the round table, to hear my name come up, because that means they just platformed me. All of a sudden, people will want to know who the heck Darryl Lamont Jenkins is and so on, whatever.
Right.
But on Twitter, he can let everybody, he basically was talking to his audience. He blocks me. And it was really interesting how they were doing that. And my attitude was, okay, that shows me I have juice. That shows me that we all have juice. Watch what they say and what they don't say and where. And that will give you an idea of how to fight these things. Incidentally, I find it really interesting, during that roundtable, there were two people there that worked with Richard Spencer. No wonder they're concerned about Antifa, because they're fa.
Right. I hear that. Darryl Lamont Jenkins, man, we appreciate you taking time out. Want to let people know they can get a hold of One People's Project.
You can always go to onepeoplesproject.com. And we also have idavox.com, where you can see that's our news line, and you'll be able to see the things that we're dealing with out there in the country right now.
How do you spell idavox?
IDAVOX.com.
Named after Ida B. Wells.
Absolutely, because we're on the same mission. We're on the same mission. So, and of course, we're on Facebook, we're on Blue Sky, we're on Instagram, we're on Threads, we're on Twitter, but don't bother. Right. Don't bother. We're done with that place. We just maintain there so we can, in case we can use it every now and again.
Well, Darryl, we'll have you back on soon. Stay safe out there. We appreciate your insight. We're going to take a break on Hard Knock Radio. We'll be right back.
For a long time, I wanna see the sunshine cracking through the silence with a fire on my mind. Voices raised in rhythm,
Every step a sacred sign. We gon' rise above the fear, always backed by the divine. They're snatching families for no reason, locked in cages with no way out. Stripped of work, dignity drowned, while the rich just laugh and count. The streets feel heavy and hope gets lost in anger and disarray. But even in the darkest hour, we will rise and win the day. Gonna rise and win the day, pushing pain and fear away. Ain't no way they're gonna keep us down. We rise like seeds through concrete ground.
Brighter days are coming. Brighter days are coming.
They locking judges, killing truth, trying to break what justice means. Humbling stars who shine too bright, afraid of young black kings and queens. But we ain't built to bow or beg. We break the chains, we flip the script. What they fear is in our blood, and we don't fold, we lead, we live. Gonna rise and win the day, pushing pain and fear away. Ain't no way they're gonna keep us down. We rise like seas through concrete ground.
Brighter days are coming. Brighter days are coming.
KBOO 90.7 FM, Portland.
Tune in to Cubby Cushy, Cubby Cush, Tuesday night.